Welcome to the Fayetteville Fire Podcast, your source for all the safety, fire, and sometimes random info you never knew you wanted. I'm Captain Steve Shakeshaft, your host for the podcast, and I got the best job ever. Let's talk about it.
How's it going, guys?
Good. How about you, man?
Good. Joining us today is our fire marshal here for the city of Fayetteville, Justin McLaurin, and one of our newest additions to the fire marshal's office. I will let you guys go ahead and introduce yourself. So, I mean, you've been with the city, what, 3 years
going
now?
Going on 3 years now, yep.
Where'd you come from?
So originally I started in Hope Mills there as a fireman, and then I slowly got all my certifications to be a fire inspector, moved from there and went to Wake County, worked for the town of Mooresville for 3.5 years, left there, come back home as a deputy fire marshal under TJ McGlam, and then shortly after his retirement was appointed the interim, and then now I'm the fire marshal.
So Fayetteville just keeps drawing you back in, Fayetteville, Cumberland County area.
You can't beat that hometown lore.
There you go. So, Alyssa, you've been with us, what? He's been here 3 years. You've been here, what, 3 weeks now?
Just about. Maybe a little over a month now.
Okay, cool. Where'd you come from? Tell us about yourself.
I originally hail from Vermont, but I'd been a little bit of everywhere with the Air Force. So I've been up in North Dakota, Germany, and then now my husband's stationed here at Bragg. So that's what brought me here to Fayetteville.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully we'll keep you here for a little while longer than all the moves around.
we wanted to come here, so we're trying everything we can to stay here for a while.
Nice, I like it. So wanted to have you guys on the podcast this month. There's been a lot of discussion in the department and in the city about the fire marshal's office and fire inspections, and we're super excited the changes we've had in the last budget year, adding some positions, which brought you on board, increasing our capacity and things like that. So before we even get into all that stuff, what does a fire marshal and a fire inspector do? What is your job?
So my job insists a lot of political in nature, and that includes dealing with council members, calls, emails, especially with any kind of projects in their particular districts they represent, especially when their constituents call and want some clarification on things. They generally try to call their council members first, and we always try to direct them towards us and clear that up, make sure they meet obviously the intent of their permit and the requirements they're trying to get across and meet that threshold of what is the minimum standard for the fire code. In addition to that, managing over 12 inspectors now, and I have an office admin lady as well. And new projects that come in, a lot of people don't hear about, they kind of hear about later on the back end. We try to make sure they understand what the requirements are in the city of Fayetteville before they even submit or even go to the news and say, hey, we're coming to Fayetteville.
Yeah.
So they know the expectation and they can have a smooth transition coming into not only North Carolina, but the city itself.
And that's a lot of people talk about the city, you know, growth, you know, being tied to the military. A lot of the growth we see is military growth, but there's so much private investment going on. I mean, new plans reviews. Chief was just talking the other night. You guys are reviewing, what, like 500 new plans or something? I can't remember the exact number he said.
Yeah, so last quarter, we did over 800 plan reviews. And then compared to this quarter last year, it was up over about 500.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So that's everything from just a small office space renovation to thousands of square feet of a new office building being built, a warehouse, a factory. You kind of name it, we're looking at it.
Yeah, and so you're kind of like the oversight, the head code enforcement person, and then you have all the, and you have your deputy fire marshal and your inspectors, which is where Alyssa comes in. So your day-to-day stuff is more of the boots on the ground, doing the inspections?
Yeah, that's right. I'm part of the maintenance side of the house, so I just go around based on an inspection schedule, and excuse me, we just provide, or we ensure that the code is being followed to ensure the safety of the public and our firefighters as well.
You were an inspector before you came to Fayetteville, right? So you've got a little bit under your belt as an inspector.
Just a little bit. I was mostly ops, but I did help out a little bit with inspections.
It's like people
from the truck.
When we show up on the fire truck from an op side, people think we're there to do an inspection all the time. And it's always like oh man, you're here for the inspection today. And what I want to make sure the community knows is, Chief said it the other night in the meeting, is this isn't a gotcha game. That's not what we're out to do. We're out to make sure everybody's safe. You're in compliance. We don't want to shut businesses down because if we shut your business down, that's less tax revenue coming in to fund our department, which pays my paycheck. It doesn't make any sense. We don't want to shut anybody down, right? Am I right?
Absolutely.
100%. And also, if we shut a business down, that also increases the financial burden on those owners to try to get back open. So we generally try to work with them at a very strict time frame. And of course, if they need additional, we work with them to get theirs with budgetary constraints and things of that nature, and trying to get a licensed contractor in. That can be hard now these days because of the amount of growth Fayetteville's seeing.
Oh, I didn't even think about that.
Yep.
Trying to get somebody to fix the issue can be a challenge.
Yep. And it is hard to get a contractor, just say they got an electrical issue, right? That requires a licensed electrician to come in. So once we identify that, they can't just go and fix it themselves.
Yeah.
They have to get a licensed electrician to do that work by general statute. And some of your electricians, if it's just a simple circuit fix or a change, they're like, hey, I'm 3 months out before I can get to you.
Yeah.
Because they're trying to get the bigger projects done, which is mostly paying their bills. These other things are, you know, cash money.
Yeah. Little stuff. So when we're dealing with these, you're out doing your maintenance inspections, and then we have some other folks who are out doing like the bigger inspections and pre-construction inspections. What are the things what can business owners preemptively say, this is a simple thing that could be against the fire code? I want to keep my patrons safe, and I also want to avoid a fine. What are the biggest things you guys see on a day-to-day basis that business owners could just, hey, this is a simple fix. I can fix it myself and be done.
That's going to be the daisy chaining. So that's going to be your extension cords into a surge protector or a surge protector into another surge protector, using extension cords as permanent wiring. Blocked exits is a big one. And then maintenance on both fire suppression and alarm systems, as well as their extinguishers. A lot of people don't know that they need annual maintenance.
Yeah, you bring up the alarm systems, and that doesn't just go for, number one, alerting your patrons and your occupants, but it also ties back to the fire trucks, because if we're responding to malfunctioning fire alarms, that means we're not available for a real emergency because your system's malfunctioning, right? I mean, that pretty common?
Yeah, that's pretty common. I want to say last year we ran just over 1,700 false alarms in the city. And out of that 1,700, you know, probably over half could have been prevented by just preventable maintenance that they could have done on the front end. That one, they weren't educated on, or two, they didn't budget for because they didn't know and understand the process behind of making sure those systems are maintained.
So what kind of things, we talked a little bit offline before we came into the podcast about, we're trying to get out and educate business owners and educate the public. What kind of things can people expect to see here in the near future as far as, we want to get out and preemptively, even before your inspection, educate? What kind of stuff is the Fire Marshal's office and my office working on to really get out and reach the community in advance?
Yeah, so there's actually two big things I'm kind of excited about that I know we haven't done historically here in Fayetteville. Is one, we're going to create a flyer that all our inspectors can hand out to new business owners, existing business owners, or anybody just wants some general information before they even start a business. They can kind of get that information up front, what's to expect on a maintenance inspection and kind of what's inspected on if they get a permit. The other thing is we're going to hit social media as hard as we can. And then hopefully in the near future, we're going to get ourselves in some magazines and newspaper articles and things of that nature.
Yeah, there's so many publications that are going out that hopefully we'll be able to partner up with and get the information out in advance. You know, the biggest thing is it just being, you know, user-friendly, easy to get to, easy to find, easy to read, all that stuff. So your office has seen some change here in the last 6 months or so.
Yeah, well, actually, we can go back a year. So historically, that office has only had between 4 to 5 inspectors doing everything that currently we have 12 people doing.
Wrap your head around that. How many businesses approximately are in the city of Fayetteville?
So currently right now, we have record over 19,000 businesses within the city of Fayetteville and roughly over 8,500 commercial properties. So when you add that up and divide it basically time on task per day, which we did do at NFPA 1730, which stirred our improvement in staffing, we were doing roughly per inspector about 1,200 inspections.
It's 360. There's only, how many days a year are we working? We ain't working 365 days a year.
100%. Yeah. So there's, with that NFPA 1730, it actually takes in account for days off, sick days, and education, because we, by general statute, have to be Con Ed trained every year, and there's a minimum hour. So, you know, we have to take those days in effect too. And without looking at that, it gives us roughly over 180 days for inspections.
180 out of 365, 19,000 businesses. The math ain't mathin'. But the council and city management, super supportive. We've got those new positions added. And we discussed the other day, you know, the last few months, all those new positions have been training. So our inspections actually went down a little bit because you had people doubled up. You had two inspectors riding together, right? So we'll start to see those numbers increase here, you know, in the near future, I'm assuming, right?
Yeah, yeah. So going back to that 1730, it tells you how many hours a day that someone can do an inspection based on this occupancy and then this overall square footage. And average right now, we're going between 5 to 8 inspections a day. But currently, there's only 4 to 5 people doing that. So once these other 3 get on the road and get on their own and inspecting, then we should see our numbers, if not double, at least increase by a third.
Yeah, and we do still have one more position to fill, right?
Yep, we still got one more position to fill. And with our 1730 analysis, we actually went through and rebroke the city down in prevention zones. And our prevention zones consist a number of fire stations that fall within that prevention zone. So currently we have 8, where originally we only had 5.
Gotcha.
So we broke it down even further to make it 8, make it more manageable for each inspector to do their job. Because when you do look at it and you say, God, I've got 3,000 inspections to do, it can be a little overbearing for somebody.
Yeah. So for most people listening to this right now, you say things like their 1730 analysis and they're like, what the heck is that? You know, they're not hearing the firefighter lingo, but for anybody listening to this that is a fire inspector somewhere and looking for an opportunity, the cool part that I love about Fayetteville is we're always doing those analyses to be better. We're always looking at ways to improve systems. We're not perfect. Sometimes we're short-staffed, but when the city recognizes it and we do these analyses, we're bringing on more people to get the job done. And what kind of experience could someone expect if they wanted to come be an inspector here? I guess I'll ask that to her because she's just getting started. How has your first month looked? Like, has it been a good experience? What are you seeing that excites you or different from what you're used to?
I've really enjoyed my time on so far. The day-to-day is we're trying to get a minimum of those 5 inspections, but quality inspections. So as much as those numbers are important, we have to make sure that we're not just going and taking a quick look and moving on. It's a lot of driving.
Yeah.
Our car is our office, and that's really different for me. But just getting out to see the city a little bit more and seeing all those businesses and trying to just make sure that the city's safe.
Yeah. You brought up your Con Ed stuff. What kind of professional development stuff are we doing with our folks?
So our folks, they can take anything from international classes to just local and then, of course, state level classes. So when I say international is NFPA. So Alyssa actually is an NFPA 1 inspector, but also the National Fire Academy. We currently have 2 staff attending that. It generally takes 2 to 3 years to get completely certified with all your fire inspection stuff underneath you. So we'll actually have one of our first ever certified NFA plans examiners coming through, and he takes his last class this spring, I believe. Then another thing is on your state level, there's a bunch of Con Ed classes that are required that you had to get and maintain on the state side of things.
Yeah, so business owners, when they're looking, or I should say potential business owners, when they're looking at coming to Fayetteville, you know that you not only have top-notch fire protection, but you also have top-notch maintenance services and making sure that your business, we're not only thinking about the violations that might be in your business, but if you're in a strip mall or a multi-occupancy, you've got to worry about what everybody else is doing too. How many of our businesses are in a building with 6 different businesses in it? It's not just important that you're doing what you're supposed to do, but everybody else too, right?
Oh yeah, 100%. It's probably over half of our businesses are like that. And out of that 8,500 commercial properties, that's where that number comes into play.
Yeah.
It's not just 85 businesses, right? It's 8,500 buildings that are commercial properties that house different businesses within inside of them. To include on that number, we're cresting over 2,000 apartment buildings that have to be inspected every year.
Wow.
So you're just talking about 2,000 inspections of apartments that are required every year.
And just, I guess we'll get off on a little bit of rabbit trail here. I like to do that. We inspect the common areas of apartments, we inspect the building itself, but once they're occupied, we're not inspecting people's residences. How does that work?
Yep, that's correct. So when it comes to an apartment, even with some hotels and motels, once that particular space is leased or occupied, we, by general statute, cannot enter
if it's residential.
If it's residential, yeah. Or hotels, motels, okay. We can't enter those rooms that are occupied. Anything that's vacant, we can request to say, hey, can we take a look around for these vacant areas? But yeah, it's just the common areas, your stairwells, your elevators, the exterior. And one thing that a lot of folks don't understand is when we're on site, we're not there just to look at the structure, right? We look at the premise as a whole. So everything around the outside of that building, if it has a 6-foot taller fence, we have to look at that fence for stability, making sure there's no booby traps or anything like that. Because a lot of times when people put fence up, they are put up to keep vagrants out.
Yeah, yeah. And it's, you know, I get a lot of phone calls as the public information officer from residents concerning other residents thinking that there's some fire code violation or something like that. And I want to make sure that we stress to folks, once your home is built, we are not coming into homes to inspect homes. If you suspect code, there could be city code violations, and we can point you to those. There's other city codes, not just fire codes. So we can point you to the right people to try to address code violations, but we're not coming in private residences and saying, hey, you've got too many extension cords in your house. Like, I can't stress that enough. Do you feel that pretty often too?
Yeah, we generally get a lot of people that are renters. And they may be co-sharing a facility with somebody, or if it's, you know, an apartment and they feel like their neighbor is doing something, and generally we say, you know, we can't really do that, but I can point you to the right folks, which yeah. is our code enforcement division, which is under the building department, and they can help them a lot further along than we can.
Yeah. And lastly, it's something that hasn't come up in a couple of weeks, but I wanted to talk a little bit about not only pre-inspections and maintenance inspections, but when we do have to step in and say, you know what, this isn't okay, whatever may be happening. And we had an incident a couple few months ago that had a lot of headlines, but I think it really did paint it in a positive light, the stories that came out, that sometimes safety is safety, and at the end of the day we have to make sure that we protect lives and property. And when we have to step in, what kind of things do we do to help that business owner get back? What kind, like, we have a system where they can, you know, call and ask questions or send emails. How does that work? If a business owner does get to a point where they have to say, you're not open anymore, we need to stop, let's get some stuff worked out. What kind of systems do we have in place to help those business owners through that process?
Yep. And unfortunately, we do have to deal with that. Not as often as
Very
most people
rarely.
Think.
Yeah, yeah.
It's a rare thing.
Yeah.
And generally, when we have to do it, it's just because there's an imminent danger to life.
Yeah.
But for them, generally what we try to do is have them come down, do a sit-down meeting with us. We lay everything out for them, say, this is the minimum you got to do to get back open. Everything else you can do while you're open, so they can start getting income back in and not really tax on their base income.
Yeah.
But the best thing is they have to pull permits most of the time when we have to shut them down, just because of the nature of what is going on in that space. And a lot of times they don't know that
when you say pull permits, you mean that the contractors are going down and getting permitted work done. It's
yep.
That's what you mean. Okay.
Yep.
Sorry. Continue.
And generally they don't know when they do something that it requires a permit. Yeah. They just think, well, you know, I can do this at my house. I should be good here. And then when we tell them, hey, it's totally different. You know,
yeah.
at your home, it's a private residence. You can do what you want. And they're like, well, I own this building. Understand, but you are open to service. You provide a level of product or service to somebody. So at this point, you're open to everything in the fire code and the building codes.
Yeah. Yeah. And we also, we partner with other agencies when that type of thing happens. I mean, I'm remembering this one specific incident downtown. We were partnering with OCS and partnering with, I don't know if it was Red Cross or whoever, but we're partnering with other agencies to make sure any affected person has some type of resource, right?
Yep. And that can even be as small as getting them in contact with a police officer.
Yeah.
Because sometimes, depending on what they're doing, is usually someone trying to break on their property.
Mm.
So they're trying to secure it, you know, as best as possible. And generally, the way they secure it goes against the fire code. It's not saying you can't secure your property, but you have to do it within a set of parameters.
Yeah.
Because the way they do secure it can endanger a fireman or firefighter when they do enter those structures, either under fire conditions or just under investigation purposes, because they got caught out because the fire alarm went off.
Yeah. 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 Well, before we wrap things up, anything else that I missed? We've talked, like me and you have talked a bunch in the last few days. It's great getting to know you, Alyssa. Welcome to the city of Fayetteville. We are glad to have you. Anything that I missed or anything else we want to chat about?
Yeah, I do want to let people know that our doors are always open. They can always come to us at 5091 Santa Fe Drive, which is also the house of Station 9, Truck 9 and Engine 9's there. But we were on the other side. Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, we always have someone there that can meet and greet with them, talk to them, give them any kind of information they request, or at least send them in the right direction for the folks that they need to meet with. And if you go down to Hay Street, where the Building Service Department is, and you're looking for a fire inspector or something like that, they're always going to tell you, hey, you need to call 433-1730, and that is our office admin number, and she will direct you to the right person.
Cool. What about you, Alyssa? Anything left?
I think just the main thing is that we're there for safety. It's not picking on anybody or anything like that. We're just there to ensure things don't happen, or, you know, the possibility of things isn't there, the right environment.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't most fire codes coming from incidents that have happened in the past?
Yes.
Good chunk of fire codes are coming from things that have happened. We're not making this stuff up.
Yep, 100%. And it's unfortunate that the North Carolina fire code was wrote on a tragic accident that actually happened here in North Carolina locally, and it was stirred into place. That's what put fire codes, you know, forward. And sometimes when it comes to change in a fire code because it's so old or it's never been revisited because nothing's changed from it, generally happens either a property loss or a large loss of life.
Yeah. And finally, just my last note, you know, we've talked a lot about commercial properties. We don't mess around in residence. But one thing we cannot stress enough is whether you are in a commercial property or a residential property, smoke alarms save lives. Please make sure that your smoke alarms, your carbon monoxide detectors are functional. And if you are in a residential property, we got you covered. We can even give them to you for free. Businesses, your business. You can take care of it. But if your home, if you are not sure that your home is protected, please come to our website. Give us a call, 433-1116, and we will ensure that your home is just as protected as we want these businesses to be protected. So thanks for joining me, folks. We appreciate you coming today.
Thanks for joining us on the Fayetteville Fire Podcast. Be sure to subscribe to Radio Fayetteville on your favorite streaming platform to listen to all of our podcasts. Join us again next month, but until then, stay safe, Fayetteville.